This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to the Cortland Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. It's a great weekend edition that we have lined up. In the first hour, we're going to be covering the new term of Trumponomics. I quite enjoy whoever coined that one. I appreciate simplifying that for all of us. And in the second hour, we're going to then focus a bit more on resources and the moves that we've seen, especially in the precious metals. Also talking about some of the base metals and industrial metals. To kick off the show, I am joined by Mr. Dan Oliver, founder and president of Myrmican Capital, based out of New York. Dan, I love talking to you about what's gone on and some similarities throughout history. Now, as we have Trump entering office, we've heard a lot of comparisons to the Reagan era. Can you take us through why you either agree or disagree with this comparison?
Yeah, Trump, I think, is an extraordinary phenomenon for lots of reasons. One is he ran a protectionist platform. Now, for the last, I don't know, a few decades, one thinks of free trade as being a Republican idea and protectionism being a Democrat idea. Of course, that has flipped in the sense that it's the multinationals who fund the Clinton Foundation and all the Clintons, and they're for free trade because it isn't really free trade. The TPP was not a free trade agreement. It was a basic corporate welfare for big companies. And now you have a populist Republican arguing for protectionism. But I sort of struck that no one has really discussed the fact that Mr. Trump's program, which is high tariffs, and people think that's rhetoric. I don't think so. And internal improvements in building bridges and infrastructure spending is something new. But in fact, it's precisely how the Republican Party began. If we go all the way back to the Panic of 1819, following the War of 1812, Henry Clay, who was a big proponent of the Whig Party, developed what was called the American system. And that was a strong central bank, high tariffs against British goods, and using the revenue to fund internal improvements, most in the North. This created actually a huge conflict with the South because they were exporting cotton and paid all the tariffs. But in any case, that was the Whig program. And it kind of went away as the come to recover. It came back with a vengeance in 1857 when there was another panic. And Lincoln, who helped start the Republican Party out of the ashes of the Whig Party, actually ran a platform of high tariffs and internal improvements, basically the same platform Mr. Trump has. So Trump is actually really going back to Republican Party roots. And this appeared again, actually, in the aftermath of the 1920 credit bubble. After the collapse of the market in 1929, Republican senators badgered President Hoover into signing the Smoot-Hawley trade tariff, which, again, was the same idea that, you know, we're going to keep foreign goods out to protect American workers and use the revenue generated to reinvest in American infrastructure. So this is not just Republican Party policy going back hundreds of years, but it's actually the sort of the natural reaction people have to the demise of a credit bubble. I mean, the problem, of course, is that it completely misunderstands the dynamics of what's happened. Free trade does not cause unemployment. Free trade didn't cause the Rust Belt to collapse. What causes it are credit bubbles. When the banks print a lot of money, what happens is it raises the price level of the domestic economy, which penalizes exports and encourages imports. And again, you can follow this stuff back hundreds of years. You know, the British Bullion Commission of 1810 talked about this phenomenon. People, you know, commentators in 1830 talked about this. I mean, this is a known phenomenon. So that is what has put the Rust Belt out of business. And so tariffs, I don't think, it doesn't address that problem, although I suppose it's possible that if the U.S. starts buying huge amounts of heavy equipment to do all its infrastructure spending and only buys it from the U.S., that can revitalize it from that perspective. But that's not a free market. Now you're sort of in the, I don't want to call it the fascist model, but basically it's saying that the government is going to control the economy, and I think that is not a good thing long term.
Well, in all fairness, it feels like the government, or at least the Fed, has been controlling the markets over the last number of years. But that's a whole another topic. But what do you have to say about the whole goal behind, even though we are most likely in a pretty significant credit bubble, to get this infrastructure spending? Quite frankly, we're going to need to further expand this credit bubble.
Well, that's the question, right? I mean, since the election, people were surprised. The market's done very well, gold's done very badly, and the explanation given is that the idea of a deficit financed tax cut, which is what he's proposing essentially, because it's not cutting spending, it's just cutting taxes. And that is a Keynesian idea, the Keynesian stimulus idea. And then you have infrastructure military spending, which again is more Keynesian spending. And then the third thing that Mr. Trump has been talking about is rolling back Dodd-Frank. Now, Dodd-Frank is a terrible law, and it's eviscerated the small banking sector because it's so complex. But you know, I do think that separating banking functions from allowing banks to bet on the markets that depositors' money is crazy. It also enhances credit bubble stuff, and that's one of the things he's talking about getting rid of. So you have three proposals that are massive pro-credit, and so as a result, the treasury bond market has been really hit hard because of the prospect that all of a sudden in a Trump administration there'll be huge issuances of treasury bonds as he goes out and does all this spending. Now, and by the way, I think this will happen because Democrats always love to spend money, and Republicans, we know, like to spend money when they're in charge. The last Bush administration saw the biggest expansion of government since Lyndon Johnson. So we're going to have spending one form or another accelerate. And everyone's trying to figure out, you know, what does this mean for the economy? And as we were talking earlier offline, I mean, in my view, the analogies to Reagan don't work, because when Reagan came into office, the credit levels had fallen to historically low levels. Interest rates were at cycle highs. And so he was able to restart a credit bubble, essentially, that's been the longest and largest in history at that moment. So it worked. Now we're in a situation where credit levels are extraordinarily high and interest rates are extraordinarily low. So I think, you know, when the government goes to try to access funds at these rates, they will discover that actually the rates move away from them. And as rates increase and the, you know, the 10-year yield is already spiking, what that does is it almost immediately starts to increase the monthly payments everyone has to make on their debt payments. And so all of a sudden, just that fact alone starts to sap the economic prospects. So you have this sort of a collapsing private sector with a thriving government sector, and that's not a good recipe.
And this is almost an immediate reaction, isn't it? Because as we're talking off mic, some people have fixed, some people have variable terms to their credit, and whether it is fixed or not, somebody is having to cover the losses that are taking place as we're seeing these big swings.
Yeah, that's right. Either borrowers have floating rates they pay immediately, or else that they fix rate. I mean, someone else has essentially fixed it for them, and they've taken the liability. And that's why the interest rate derivative market is somewhere in the neighborhood of $600 trillion, because what one of the functions that does is to balance all the fixed payments against the floating rate funding. And so somebody has to pay it immediately. Now, you know, to put it in perspective, the spiking rates have only returned them to where they were a year ago, so it's not the end of the world yet. But the direction of rates is very important, and the question is, I think where they are now as an absolute level is not that dangerous, but if they continue north, it can really run into problems. And what's also happening is it's not just the U.S. bond market. The Japanese bond market is having some dislocations. The Italian bond market is having some dislocations, and others are critical economies, which if Japan blows up or if Italy blows up, the world looks like it would be a very different place very, very quickly. And just think about the magnitude of Japanese debt that, you know, fund managers have bet against for decades. It's called a widow trade because it always loses. And one day it isn't. I mean, one day the Japanese bond market is going to blow up.
Dan, let me jump in here. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but in the next segment, I'm going to have you back on, and we will talk about not only the movements we've seen in the markets, but to further your point, some of the repercussions and waves that we are seeing internationally. So everybody stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
You know about RVs, you've heard about bunkers, but surviving is not recreation, and man wasn't made to live underground. Introducing Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid survival bug-out house that's mobile, well-equipped, and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Go to survivalistcamps.com to learn more. That's survivalistcamps.com, providing your basic needs to survive. Survivalistcamps.com.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing our conversation with Dan Oliver. Dan, we ended last segment talking about some of the repercussions that we could see and already are seeing around the world due to Trump being in office and some of the changes in mentality from investors and really just economic commentators. I think too much of the time, especially right after the election, people focus too much on what is happening domestically, which is understandable. But let's get back into what you were saying about what is going on in Japan with their bond market also falling quite substantially.
Yeah, well, it's a whole package of things. I think a lot of what Trump talked about in the campaign was rhetoric. I don't expect that his policies would be that radically different than what's gone before. But one thing I think is going to happen, and it's really out of his control, is his base is the Rust Belt. That's what Iran is protecting them. And the reality is that China is going to blow up at some point because they have so much overcapacity. They're going to dump their overcapacity on the market. Prices are going to collapse for heavy industry and pipes and steel and beams and all those things that the Chinese have been building for the last 10 years. And then Trump will have to decide whether protectionism is just rhetoric or not. And I think if he wants to protect his base, the industrial workers, he'll be forced into some sort of tariff war with China. And the reason it has such big implications financially is that there's an enormous amount of dollar debt that finances foreign activities, at least $10 trillion of those foreigners who borrow money from other foreigners denominated in dollars. And so if all of a sudden tariffs go up and those countries have a hard time getting dollars, it could create real stress in the developing market. And on top of that, you have countries like Japan that have just enormous amounts of debt that they can't possibly ever pay back. And the reason they've been able to go as far as they can is because again, there's a shortage of yen necessary to pay these government bond payments. And so it's sort of, you know, been feeding ourselves for decades. But all of a sudden now, you're seeing big locations in the Japanese bond market. I mean, you know, Japan was one of the bad actors that Trump identified in the campaign of dumping cars in the U.S. and refusing to buy our beef, for example. So what's going to happen with those relationships in Japan? And then, you know, Italy is also the sick man of Europe at the moment. At the Italian bond market goes, one has to wonder what's going to happen to Europe. So it's not just the U.S. bond market. It's the European bond market as well. And one thing that the world learned in the 30s especially is that in a global free market where capital can flow where it wants to, when rates spike in a certain part of the world, like in Europe in the 1930s, capital moved from the U.S. to Europe to take advantage of those higher rates, and that put pressure on U.S. yields. So, unless I think it will happen eventually, you put capital controls in to prevent the money from leaving. The world is just one giant bond market, and to the extent that the thing unravels on Trump's watch, I think it'll be interesting. You know, he in a way, he got a poison chalice. He said several times when I was watching during the campaign that he thought that the economy was artificial and Janet Yellen was playing games and it was all going to collapse. And I think he was rather hoping for the crash before the election because, A, that would have helped him, and, B, it would be clear who the responsible party was, i.e. Obama. Now it's going to blow up on his watch, presumably. I mean, maybe it blows up in the next 3 months, but basically he's got ownership of it. And it's not clear to me what he's going to do other than the fact that the names he's been floating for Treasury Secretary include Goldman Sachs people and Jamie Dimon and people like that. So if he's really going to get back in the bed with the big banks, I don't see how this helps the populace who elected them, but it also suggests that when push comes to shove, the big banks will be bailed out again, and we won't see a resolution to, you know, what should happen, which is having the big banks shut down.
Well, Dan, that's an interesting concept, having the big banks shut down. I don't know if that's right around the corner. Unfortunately, I think that it could actually be good for the system to get back on track. But let's talk about what we saw in U.S. markets now in terms of bank stocks doing very well, base metals, infrastructure-type stocks, those all outperforming, the precious metals dropping, silver stabilizing just a little bit. But these are all moves that if you're listening to commentators before the election, when they did throw out the idea, if Trump might get in, we will see X, Y, and Z happening. This is the exact opposite of what they predicted. Why do you think that is?
No, that's right. I think people underestimated how Trump came out in his victory speech and stressed the infrastructure spending, which is stimulus spending. So as we talked about, he has these programs that are very, very pro-cyclical and pro-credit. So the idea is to get in front of that and profit from it. And gold, as I've discussed numerous times with you on your show, doesn't like the upswing of a credit cycle. And when they print money, that's bad for gold initially. Gold loves it when that stimulus wears off. And so to the extent that the Trump stimulus is going to happen and will be big enough to actually influence the economy, then gold should go down initially for a time and then come roaring back when that bears off. But I have my doubts about that. I think, again, the reasons we talked about is that, you know, unlike Reagan, Trump is coming into office with an enormously large credit bubble, and can he really stimulate enough to create an even bigger bubble the way that Bernanke did in 2010-11? I mean, I'm just not sure about that. And if we think about analogies, you know, the 1960s, you know, there was falling rates and expanded government spending, just the same way there was in 2000, essentially. And that was a very good time for stocks and Nifty 50 in the market. Gold went up in 2000, but it went down in terms of commodities. So it was not a great decade for gold. And then in the 70s, you had huge amounts of government spending as well, but you had rising interest rates and huge amounts of inflation. And so if that's where we're headed, if we're headed into an environment where the government's spending lots and lots of money and the Fed's raising rates and you're going to get lots and lots of inflation because of it, gold, it's sort of an ideal situation for gold to be in. I think not right away, but I think once those trends take hold, then we could really see a 1970s style, only bigger because the force is bigger, movement of gold. Now, that took 10 years. It didn't happen overnight. But that's really the situation we're heading towards. Then it makes me even more bullish of gold than I had been previously.
Well, let's wrap this all up here in about a minute and a half. And considering the capital flows that we are seeing and the money that is also moving into the U.S. dollar, the U.S. dollar, as we're recording this, is right up against an upper level resistance that, if broken, who knows what the dollar could go to. This is also a consideration for investors because it is hurting emerging economies, people around the world. What do you have to say wrapping this all up here, Dan?
Yeah, but don't forget that the last in the dollar really, really spiked was 2008, right? That's when people ran out of dollars because the amount of debt in the economy massively is larger than the amount of dollars there are. So when the Fed stops printing money, and if it raises rates in December, which it might do, it will just increase a shortage of dollars. And so that's not good for the banking system. It's not good for the European bank system especially. And, of course, Deutsche Bank is the sick bank of Europe, and that's rallied big time since the election. But to the extent the dollar keeps going up, I think those trends will unwind and we'll be back in the deflationary mindset. So everyone's wondering, how big can the stimulus possibly be and will it matter? And my answer is it has to be enormous to make a difference. And I'm just not sure it can get to that scale, but we'll have to wait and see.
Well, Dan, it's always enjoyable chatting with you. Thanks for giving us some historical context on where the U.S. economy might be going and capital flows around the world. It's an interesting time that we are in, and we're all going to need to hold our breath a little bit and see exactly what this Trumponomics turns out to be. Thanks again for your time, Dan. Everybody stick around. We're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision and independence to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. It's the leading cause of blindness in adults 55 and older. Some of us are at greater risk for AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD. If left untreated, it can lead to blindness. The good news? With early detection, AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that can reduce or even reverse some vision loss. Learning that you have AMD can be scary, but there's hope and help. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is researching and developing treatments and cures for AMD. To get your free AMD information packet, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. Join the fight against AMD, because together there is a cure in sight.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing on with the first hour of the weekend edition, joined by our good friend Dana Lyons, a fund manager based out of Chicago. Dana has a free blog website as well as the website my401kpro.com. Dana, I wanted to chat with you today about, first of all, the U.S. dollar. We are recording this later in the day on Friday, and the U.S. dollar continues its breakout. Now it is over 101 on the index, which is at really highs that we haven't seen in years. I think it's, what is it, in 14 years we haven't seen these highs? Yeah. What does this mean to you, seeing what the dollar is doing?
Well, obviously, if there's one asset that has significant impact on the rest of the financial markets, it would be the U.S. dollar. So a breakout, if it is indeed sustainable, would have obviously an enormous impact on a whole host of other markets, including a negative impact, assumedly, on the precious metals, emerging markets, other commodities that, you know, assets that have done very well over the last year and a half or so, or at least since the beginning of this year, but perhaps over the year and a half since the dollar topped out in the spring of 2015. So another leg up, a successful breakout here by the dollar, and another leg up in the post-2008 or post-2014 rally in the dollar would likely have negative consequences on those assets that I mentioned. And by the way, that would be our base case scenario, that we do see longer term strength in the U.S. dollar. what we saw in the spring of 2015 when we had that monster rally in the dollar. We did need to see some consolidation there. We saw it not just in the fact that, you know, the dollar index was overbought. We saw it hitting key Fibonacci retracement level from the highs in 2001. In addition, via a look at the commitment of traders positioning in dollar futures, we saw the commercial hedgers actually went to a record short position in the U.S. dollar. And if you follow the commitment of traders report at all, the commercial hedgers are typically correctly positioned at major turning points. So in the spring of 2015, when they went to an all-time high level of shorts in dollar futures, that was a heads up that any more gains would likely not be sustainable, and that position would probably be a headwind for the dollar going forward. Now, for a dollar bull, what we've seen in the year and a half since then is probably exactly what you want to see happen.
Dana, we talk about the commitment of traders reports, the COT reports for gold and silver a lot, but not so much with the dollar. Can you take us through what you've been noticing, the changes that have been happening within the COT reports for the U.S. dollar, please?
We've seen the commercial hedgers position completely unwound to the point where they got close to a neutral or net neutral position on the dollar. At the same time, you didn't see much of that rally actually retrace. You know, it held about a 61 retracement from the 2014 rally and 38 or a 23 retracement from the 2008 rally. So you saw you've seen the dollar move sideways over the last year and a half, which is what you want to see in consolidating gains and to suggest that the next move outside of the range would be the upside. So we have seen hedgers rebuild those short positions a little bit over the last few weeks into this dollar strength, but nowhere near the point to which they were at in spring of 2015. So there is definitely room and fuel for this dollar rally to continue if it does want to be a successful in breaking out above this the recent peaks.
Those are noteworthy changes that you just outlined there, Dana, inside the COT reports for the commercial traders, and they do lend me to believe that we will continue to see this dollar appreciate. Now, it won't necessarily be a straight line upward, but after this year and a half consolidation from a very nice run in 2014, now we're in this position that, well, we could see this higher dollar, and that could trickle over to many different asset classes, and that's why I do want to touch on the precious metals, because when the dollar is high, precious metals do struggle, and right now we're seeing gold manage to hold, as we're recording this, just above the $1,200 level, but the trend has definitely been down, and now people are worried that we still might break that $1,200. What do you have to say?
Well, it's obviously a lot of it is based on, presumably, again, on the action of the dollar. So, obviously, after it's almost the same notion as the dollar that I just mentioned. You know, since the beginning of the rally in gold and precious metals at the beginning of the year, it got a little bit overdone. You know, into June, we needed to see a little consolidation, a little digestion of that rally before we continued higher. And what we've seen that over the last 4 months or so. Now, we did see a little bit more weakness in that breakdown in October, I believe, and then again following the election, we've seen a little more weakness in precious metals than a precious metal bull might want to see. From a long-term perspective, it doesn't change the thesis, which we would ascribe to, at least at this point, that precious metals and gold have made a longer-term reversal and are headed higher in the long term. However, the fact that we've seen you know, the extent of the recent weakness would suggest that perhaps there's more work to be done, more time needed to repair some of the damage that we've seen just recently.
Do you feel that people or investors have at least lost a little interest in the precious metals after the big run that it's had, considering the dollar's breaking out, the U.S. markets are at or very near all-time highs? Investors are just, you know, distracted by these other asset classes?
Well, that would be that would go a long way to repairing the precious metals and the gold sentiment. You know, it certainly got a little more overheated, a little too much attention on the gold rally, precious metal rally into the summer. So that's another thing that got another factor that weighed against the continuation of the gold rally at that point. To touch on the dollar topic we talked about, if you look at, for example, the COT positioning in gold futures, for example, in June and into early July, commercial hedgers actually adopted an all-time record level of short positions in gold. So just like the dollar, that became a headwind for gold in terms of continuing its rally higher. Now, we've seen a fair amount of covering over in the months since that that record short position in hedgers. I would like to see a lot more in terms of covering before we would place that that sentiment analysis, positioning analysis, in the bullish camp for gold and silver and other precious metals. So there's more work to be done there, I think.
Okay, Dana, but I guess just in summary here, there obviously has been some damage done to the gold and precious metals charts, but still, we are seeing a long-term reversal. We are not taking out those lows put in at the tail end of 2015, which needs to be understood to be positive. And even if the dollar continues to break out, there are times when the dollar and precious metals can move up together, but right now there's no doubt that the dollar is placing some headwinds on gold and other precious metals, as well as other markets around the world. And that dollar breakout continues to be, I think, very significant and noteworthy. Dana, thank you as always for your time. Everybody stick around, we're going to be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Imagine being able to throw away your contacts and glasses. Imagine waking up tomorrow with 20/20 vision. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, guess what? There's a company that agrees with you. TLC Laser Eye Centers is now offering great prices on high-quality LASIK to make it affordable for everyone. That means you get the latest FDA-approved all-laser LASIK technology for less than what others charge. And if you call right now, we'll schedule a free appointment so you can discover if LASIK is right for you. Results may vary. Call 1-800-933-1427. Even better, if you're one of the first 100 callers, ask about an extra $400 off your all-laser LASIK procedure. That's $200 off per eye. We've already performed over 2 million procedures. Let us help you. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you deserve for less than what others charge. For your free appointment, call 1-800-933-1427. 1-800-933-1427.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FiveStarsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
My name is Lee and I'm 41. I've been using One World Wave for 2.5 years now. I suffered a bulged L4 and L5 disc from a car accident 3 years ago, and since that time I've been unable to walk long distances, do any minor lifting, or just normal activities with my children without having severe back pain. Since I've started using One World Way, I've been able to walk more, engage in activities with my children, and have less lower back pain. One World Way has helped me regain back my strength, confidence, and have a healthier life. I've noticed a weight loss of about 20 pounds, my A1C dropped 2 points, and I have more energy now. One World Way has helped me regain back my life.
The results for clients on One World Way have surpassed the results for most any other supplements as well as all other whey protein powders. One World Way is non-denatured and frequency encoded. We believe the frequency encoding increases your body's production of glutathione and energy production. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition, joined by a technical trader that seems to always draw a lot of comments, positive comments, I must say, from our blog, Avi Gilbert. Avi, we have a number of different markets that I think we should cover simply because of the interesting moves we've seen this week and the trends that these certain markets have been on. Can we start off with the U.S. dollar, please? The U.S. dollar has broken out. There's no doubt about that, trading at 14-year highs. What do your technicals tell you about this move?
Well, my target on this move up was actually 99.73. So we've definitely moved through my target. Now we're at a secondary target that I had, which was the higher target. Didn't necessarily want to see us come this high, but it was about 101.60. If we see an appreciable move through here, then we're probably going up to about 103.50, which then means that the next larger move we're going to see is probably going to be to the downside. In other words, 103.50, then potentially even followed by about the 106 region. So if we move appreciably through 101.60, we can get up to 103.50 to 106. And I would be expecting a top, and then we may have another year-long consolidation to the downside.
Any idea on what this consolidation to the downside would look like? How low would it go? How quickly could it happen?
My expectation is still that we need to get back to the 90 to 93 region. And again, it's going to be very choppy like we've been experiencing for the last year or two. Ultimately, I think the market is going to be going up to 110 to 120, but that's still going to be, I think, several years out.
It's interesting, isn't it, Avi, to see something like the dollar break through your target of around 99 with this type of veracity. Do you usually see this?
The answer is the type of structure that we have going up, it often ends with this type of spike. So I'm really unsure if we're going to top in this type of spike and then come down and all the way back down to the 92, but a lot's going to depend around the 101.60 region. But yes, these type of spikes are normal for these types of moves.
Okay, Avi, let's switch focus a little bit. Let's talk about treasuries. Let's look at TLT, which is the 20-year treasury bond ETF. We've seen this consistent sell-off that began once TLT reached its peak at the beginning of July. But last week was a big sell-off. This week, is continuing down, although not as severely. Where do you think this sell-off might end?
Well, it's interesting. Back in June 27th, I think we published analysis on our site, and the title of the analysis was something to the effect of "Look out for the bonds to blow up." And we were literally saying this is where we're going to likely see the final top in the larger degree bond market. And so the expectation that we had was we're going to see a large decline from these highs. Right now, I'm looking at we're in the vicinity of the 200 weekly moving average, about the 120 region. If we can hold this region, I'm looking for a bounce back to about the 120. 4.5 to 127.5 region, probably correctively, and we're just going to continue lower going into 2017 would be my expectation.
So it sounds like the narrative and the trend has changed for bonds in your eyes, because it seemed like investors just got so complacent that bonds were going to continue to move up, up, up. Now with this recent sell-off, you're looking for lower.
We were never looking for higher. We were looking for bonds to top. That was our, that was the point of our alert that we put out on our website back on June 27th. We were looking for a very long-term top in the bond market.
And this is very likely that long-term top that you saw just a week or two after you put out that alert.
Correct. We were saying now is the time to be on alert for a long-term top to the bond market. And pretty much the market has followed through.
Yeah, very interesting, Avi. Let's take a look now at the precious metals. I know that you follow GLD, so let's take a look at the GLD chart. We saw another sell-off in gold and the precious metals in general this week. How much lower do you think GLD can go?
Well, we were looking for the GLD to come down to about the 112 region, minimally the 115.80 region. But, you know, it could get a little bit lower still, but I got to tell you, I think the risk to reward on at this point is to start looking higher rather than lower. If we break 111, that is very, very detrimental to the overall long-term potential of going much higher sooner than later. It opens the door to actually lower lows, which I only saw as a 30% probability to date. I still see it as a 30% probability, meaning I think the probabilities reside on the 70% side that we're still in a bull market. But I want to see us staying over 111 on the GLD. But for now, I think the risk to reward is to look higher rather than lower.
So essentially, if people did want to dabble in this market, they could, but be very cognizant of that 111 level and maybe have some
correct
stops under there, because that's only about 3.5% down from where we currently are.
Correct.
Is your outlook similar for silver, too? Do you think the risk-reward is to the upside there?
Absolutely. You know, LPG and I were talking about silver quite a bit over the months. And I told him, you know, my ideal target, let me actually pull up that, that silver chart. My ideal target on silver on the downside was 1666. So we're slightly lower than that, but I said it can get as deep as 16. I want to see 16 holding. So as long as 16 holds, we see some tremendous positive divergences on the technicals that all year long, every single bottom followed by a rally that we have seen all year long has given us this exact same type of setup on the technicals. Is this going to be the first time it fails all year? Maybe. But, you know, from a probability standpoint, we go with what we see, and what we're seeing is tremendous positive divergences that we would normally expect to hold and then turn this market up quite strongly in the very near term.
Well, Avi, it gives me comfort, actually, that you're also looking at that $16 level for silver, because that's exactly where Doc and I are looking, where it should turn, or at least we think it could turn. Can you give us some upside targets if you think that it turns at 16? Where do you see it running to?
Ooh, well, let's see. If we stop at 16...
Sorry to put you on the spot here, buddy.
Oh, no, it's okay. I am looking for minimum of 30, probably more likely 35 to 40.
Wow, so a very nice move from here. How long? Any idea on time frame of when that could happen?
My expectation is once we take out the August highs, I'm looking at about 12 months, maybe as long as 18 months until we hit those highs.
Okay, interesting, Avi. One more market that I want to look at, and that is the U.S. equity markets. Can we talk about where the S&P is trading? We are very close at closing week high. What do you have to say about that?
I think the last time we spoke, I think, was on 11-4, which, if you remember, I was saying that what I would like to see is a very strong reversal back out, because we were finishing off an ending diagonal, which then reverses very strongly with an ideal target back to 2180 very quickly. This is exactly what the market has done over the last 2 weeks. Now, where we stand right now, if I had my ideal world scenario, I would say we're topping in here. We get a pullback to 21.25 on the SPX, and then we set up on our way in our Santa rally to a target of 2280 to 2300 before any pullback slash consolidation, on our way ultimately to 2500, 2600 in 2017.
So again, continuing to be quite bullish, looking to the upside here.
I've been bullish for all year, even though people back in January were calling for market crash. If you remember, we were still bullish with our targets of 2,500, 2,600.
Now, what would change your mind? What would make you consider a market crash?
Well, at this point, if the market broke down below 2080, if the market broke down below 2080 at this point, I said last time we spoke, I said it would take a breakdown below 2030. Now I'm moving it up to 2080. It would take a breakdown below 2080 to make me concerned about the health of the bull market. But when I look at the IWM, and the IWM has been our vehicle of choice in the equity markets, and the move that we have had in the IWM and the technicals that we have seen on this move in the IWM, I can honestly say I have never, not once, seen a move that it was this technically strong that has reversed. So my expectation is still quite strongly bullish. Again, if we break 2080 on the SPX, I may have to reconsider that. But when I look at the IWM, which has been our vehicle of choice, I'm looking for about maybe even 150 by the time we hit the end of February.
Very interesting comments, Avi. I appreciate you breaking down with your technicals a number of different markets. Everybody, I highly recommend checking out Avi's website, ElliottWaveTrader.net. Everybody, stick around. We're going to be right back.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit KEReport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.